Good morning. Welcome to Travelers Rest United Methodist Church. My name is Christine Matthews, one of your pastors here, and we are so glad that you're worshiping with us today. A warm welcome to everyone who is worshiping with us online, whether that's YouTube or Facebook now or later, or the podcast later, but also on the radio now, and those that are in our sanctuary this morning in person. Is it still raining outside? Yes. It's kind of cold and dark and rainy day, but it's warm inside for worship this morning. And how about we praise God anyway? Amen? Let us begin with our choral call to worship from our chancel choir. Stand for our opening reading if you're able. Hear are these words of Jesus from John's Gospel. I am praying for them, for those you gave me, because they are yours. Holy Father, watch over them in your name, the name you gave me, that they will be one just as we are one. I'm not praying only for them, but also for those who believe in me because of their word. I pray they be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. I pray that they also will be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me so that they can be one just as we are one. I'm in them, and you are in me, so that they will be made perfectly one. Then the world will know that you sent me and that you have loved them just as you loved me. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us continue to praise with our hymn, In Unity We Lift Our Song.
sisters and my brothers, my church, I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, who prays that we all may be one, just as he and God are one. In unity, we lift our song. Amen, church. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, and good morning, friends. You've met Pastor Christine Matthews. I'm Jonathan Tompkins, another of the pastors here, and I am so grateful that you have joined with us in the worship of God today, those here in person, those online. If you are in person with us, if you would please begin passing the attendance pads, you will find them on the middle aisle side of your pew. Please mark down that you're here, and if you're joining us today for the first time, if you give us a way to contact you, we'll just contact you later this week with more information about us. If you're online right now, please go to our website and go to our Digital Connect card. We really want to know that you are worshiping with us, whether it's live right now or whether it's later this week. We want to know that you are there. Please go to our website, find our Digital Connect card. If you open up, please, to the second to last page in your bulletin, you'll find there our list of upcoming events and announcements. You will see a QR code there up in the right-hand corner. This takes you also to our website, to our email list sign-up. We send out a church-wide email once a week to keep you more connected during the week. And if you're not yet receiving those, you can use that QR code to sign up. I want to invite you to continue to please sign up to help lead worship on Sunday mornings. We still have spaces available for acolytes and Bible bearers, for children's moments. Next week, we have a couple of spaces left for communion servers, scripture readers, greeters, ushers. Please use that website to sign up. Reminder to our young people who are eager to sing, our Travelers Rest United Methodist people eager to sing, Trumpets Children's Choir are rehearsing today from 5 to 5:30 in the chapel. You'll see more information in your bulletin. We also still have plenty of room left for feasting with friends. You can sign up through this week to be in a small group of folks that gather monthly for dinner for the next 4 months. You'll see the information in your bulletin to sign up. Pastor Christine would love to speak with you about being part of a growth group. Those are our weekly small groups that meet during the week, usually in folks' homes or somewhere out in the community, and she can talk to you more about a group that would be good for you. And then please plan ahead for Super Bowl Sunday. We take part in the Super Bowl of Caring each year. We tackle hunger by bringing food to go to our various feeding ministries. And just put that date on your calendar, February 12th. And then also, just to make you aware that we do have a special fund called our Mental Health Support Fund. If you or someone you know needs some financial help in seeking mental health assistance, we would be happy to help pay for that, and you can contact me for more details. You can see that the communion table is set up today. This is a communion Sunday, both today and next Sunday as well. Here in the United Methodist Church, we practice what we call an open table. That means that all are invited today to Christ's table to partake in communion. You do not have to be a member of this church. You do not have to be United Methodist. All you have to be is open and willing to receive the good gifts of God's grace that we feel are represented to us by the bread and by the juice. And so you are welcome at Christ's table today. When it is time to come, we're going to ask that you come down the center aisle. There will be two different stations. You can go to one of those stations. Come with your hand out like this, and a piece of bread will be put into your hand. You can then take that bread and dip it into the cup and then partake of the elements together. We use King's Hawaiian sweet bread. It is delicious. It is the best way to taste and see the goodness of God. We use that. However, we also have gluten-free available. Also, Hawaiian bread, gluten-free. So please ask your server for the gluten-free option if you would like that. We also have pre-packaged elements if you would prefer that method as well. Again, just ask your server when it is time. You will also see that the offering plates are set up here. We're not going to pass the plates today, but on your way to receive communion, if you'd like to put your offering in the plate, you can do so. Also, just a reminder, you can give online, and the information is there in your bulletin. Well, friends, we are so grateful that you have joined with us today. We are also grateful whenever new life is presented at the altar of God's church at the font for holy baptism. And so I would like to invite Miles Helverson, Daisy Rohrbaugh, and their families to please come and join us at the communion font. Congregation, if you would open up your hymnals to page 39, there's a misprint in the bulletin. 39 is the liturgy that we will be following. It will also be on your screen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation, and we are given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift offered to us without price. And we remember it was Jesus himself who said, "Let the little children come unto me and do not hinder them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs." Families, we are so grateful that you have brought both of your children, Miles and Daisy, to be baptized today in God's church. So on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, parents of each child, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, please say, "I do." Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture these children in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace one day for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? And do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these children and their parents and their families now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
And now, if you will follow the thanksgiving over the waters, is responsive and your part is in bold. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you in the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Right. Well, Daisy and Miles, I'm going to ask that your parents bring you a little bit closer to the font here, and I want you to take a look at this. and there is some water in here, and this is really, really special water. And so Pastor Christine and I are going to take this water, and we're going to put it on your heads three different times, and that represents the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So is that okay? Can we do that for y'all right now? All right. So Pastor Christine, you take Miles, and I'm going to take Daisy. And can we take that off her head a little bit? Okay. All right. And this is Daisy May, is that correct?
And Miles Bryan.
Daisy May, we baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We pray God's blessing upon you that you may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Amen.
And this is Miles Bryan. Miles Bryan, we baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We pray God's blessing over you, that you would be a disciple of Christ throughout your life. Amen.
Amen. All right, church, we need to sing to our new sister and brother in Christ. God claims you. We're going to sing it this way. Miles and Daisy, God claims you. And we'll sing together. Let's sing. Special day to be baptized together as part of the same family. This is so great, and we are just so grateful that God is with us and God's grace is surrounding you both before you even know that it's there. We're grateful for the church family that's going to help your parents raise you in the faith, and we are just grateful to be here with you. We've got some things for them. Let's see, that's for Miles. And that's for Daisy. That's their baptismal certificate, and then a letter for each of them when they're old enough to read on their own. They can read that letter, and it tells them just a little bit more about what happened here today. Thank you, my friends, and God bless you. God bless you. Lisa Ann comes to read scripture for us. In addition to being on the screen, it is also on the back of your bulletin on your trail guide so we all can follow along.
From John chapter 2, verse 24, and then chapter 4, verses 12 and 16. As for you, what you heard from the beginning must remain in you. If what you heard from the beginning remains in you, you will also remain in relationship to the Son and in the Father. No one has ever seen God. If we love each other, God remains in us, and his love is made perfect in us. We have known and have believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who remain in love remain in God, and God remains in them. And from Romans chapter 15, verses 5 through 7. May the God of endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude towards each other, similar to Christ Jesus' attitude. That way you can glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ together with one voice. So welcome each other in the same way that Christ also welcomed you for God's glory. And the Word was life, and the life was the light to all people. Amen.
I'll point you once again to the back of your bulletin on your trail guide. You'll see that in addition to today's scripture, there's some blank space there for you to take notes. It's always our hope that God will be speaking something meant just for you today that you're going to want to write down and take with you this week. And then there are some next steps for the journey and a prayer for this week's walk. All of these are designed to take what we do in here today out into your week and out into the world. Will you pray with me? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Amen. So I'm curious, have you ever disagreed with somebody who you love? Rebecca, my spouse, and I, for the most part, are very agreeable towards each other, and yet there are still some things on which we disagree. Loading the dishwasher, for example. You know, there is a wrong way to do that, and then there's my way. Sometimes we disagree about ways to do that. Sometimes we disagree about where to place our keys. If only there was a rack with hooks of some sort on it in which you could place keys in our house. Well, it turns out there is, and it's right by the door on your way out, and yet we disagree sometimes on where those keys should be placed. We disagree sometimes about whether to keep the door open or closed. When one is opening the back door and one is taking the garbage out, and it's just a few steps out the back door, I believe that it is okay to leave a door open for 5 seconds while I dump the garbage and then come back. And Rebecca says, you are letting all the hot air out. So apparently I have married Rebecca's father now. We disagree about some things. Every once in a while, we disagree about who to vote for. Sometimes, every once in a while, we'll cancel each other's vote out. Sometimes, we'll disagree a little bit about ways to tackle various social issues that are happening. I think we should do this. And she might say, well, I think we should do it this way. And we might disagree every once in a while about things like that. And yet, something that we both agree on is that we're going to love each other. through our disagreements. And it's not just us who have agreed to that. You know, we've agreed with God to do that because 16 and a half years ago, we entered into a covenant together with each other. We took vows. We spoke vows to each other to remain with each other, even in the disagreements. At our wedding, the pastor sent us forth with these words, and these are words that I send forth couples that I preside over their wedding now. I send them forth with these beautiful words as well. Bear witness to the love of God in this world, so that those to whom love is a stranger will find in you generous friends. Bear witness to the love of God in this world. As long as there is love, as long as we agree to love each other and others to whom love might be a stranger, as long as there is love, we remain, we abide, we bear with each other. Well, you too have taken vows, whether you are married or not. You too have taken vows. Most of you here today have most likely taken vows when you became a member of this church. And if you're not yet a member, you still might take these vows at some point. You took vows when you joined Travelers Rest United Methodist Church. You took vows to support this church with your, say it with me if you remember it, prayers, presence, gifts, service, faithful witness. Bear witness to the love of God in this world. You took those vows. If you were baptized as a United Methodist, whether a baby like we did today or as an adult, or if you have been with us every year when we remember our baptisms, we renew our baptismal covenants. You just heard the vows spoken earlier. Do you promise to serve Jesus as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? That's a big church. And do you think that a church consisting of all ages, nations, and races might not necessarily agree on every single thing every once in a while? It's a big church. These baptismal vows go on. Will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? Will you bear witness to the love of God as part of the church? See, vows keep us together, even though we might disagree about some things. You know, the church, we are Christ's representatives. We're called to, when it is time to disagree, we're called to disagree differently than the rest of society. You don't need me to stand here and tell you that there is a little bit of disagreement in society right now. You certainly don't need me to tell you how people go about disagreeing out there. You know, it tends to be two different things. It tends to be attack. We attack the other person verbally, most of the time now online with our typing fingers. But as with lots of words spoken, sometimes these words can lead to actions, and there are attacks that we see because of disagreements. But then also, we don't just attack, but we also retreat. You know, we want to leave the discussion. We want to leave the argument. We just want to find our little tribe, our little echo chamber with everyone who just agrees with us. We don't want to be challenged. It's uncomfortable. So we attack and we retreat. That's what happens out there so often, but yet I can't help but keep hearing Christ's words from Scripture, but not so with you. Will Williman is a retired United Methodist bishop, also a retired United Methodist professor from Duke Divinity School. He spoke this past fall at my home church, Rebecca and my home church, Shandon United Methodist in Columbia. He preached, and I took a listen to his sermon. This is part of what he said. He said, "If you leave rather than stay to have difficult conversations, you're saying we're just like society. We have no way of talking with people with whom we disagree. If you walk, then you're in danger of implying that the United Methodist Church lied to you when it taught you to sing, "In Christ there is no east or west, but one great fellowship of love throughout the world." Willimon says, "I don't think it's bad to have arguments in the church, but they need to be about things that Jesus cares about. Like, what part of the mission of Christ has your church been assigned to? That's worth arguing about." So, the United Methodist Church, if you're aware of our history, we've disagreed every once in a while over the past 200 years of Methodism. I mean, all you have to do is take a look at this book. It's called the Book of Resolutions. Do you know about the Book of Resolutions? Have you ever heard of our social principles before? It seems that United Methodist Church has taken a position on every single social issue known to man. And they're in this book. Now, if you ever want to read this, you can borrow my copy. This is actually kind of an outdated version. It's 2008. It's probably twice as thick by now. Feel free to take it and read it. It'll only take you about 3 years. All right, here you go. It's there for you. But do you think with all of this, do you think that you might find one or two things in here that you might disagree with as a United Methodist? You might. You know, it's easy sometimes to rearrange the letters in our name, right? Make it the Untied Methodist Church with some of the division that we've had, the disagreements. Untied, and yet we still remain tied together by grace. Sometimes people will ask me, well, what's the difference between like Methodists and all these other denominations, you know? And the one thing that I can say is grace. We're really, really big on grace. And that's what keeps us tied together. We're tied together by God's grace. We're tied together by Christ's mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That's our mission. Now, we may argue about the best ways to go about doing that, but to me, that's something worth arguing about. And it's something worth staying in the conversation for. So, we might be tempted when there are disagreements and when there's challenges and all that, we might be tempted to kind of say, you know what, let's just leave and let's go back to the days of the early church. You know, those first disciples that Jesus called together, they started forming the church and they were so on fire, they were united, they were together, it was the Acts 2 church. They didn't disagree about anything. And yet, so much of our New Testament scripture are letters to churches who were disagreeing about lots of things. Take a look, for example, at the letters of John. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. It's way in the back of our New Testaments. It's not to be confused with the Gospel of John, probably from either the same author or the same community. But 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John are these little letters in the back of our New Testament. I was helped with this by the author Frances Taylor Gench in her book, Faithful Disagreement. I want to recommend that book. She talks about these letters of John. She says, "I like to think of these letters as the dirty laundry of the New Testament. Maybe that's why they're tucked in the back. We don't like to air our dirty laundry, but it's there." See, these letters are addressing a dispute that had arisen in John's church, in his faith community. And apparently, some of the community had withdrawn because of conflict. And it was possibly arguing about how to interpret Scripture, how to interpret John's gospel itself, probably. And they were arguing about the best ways. And so some of the community had left, had withdrawn. And so it's interesting, that really puts today's scripture reading from 1 John in a new light. Did you notice all the times that he used the word remain? If what you heard from the beginning remains in you, you will also remain in relationship to the Son and in the Father. If we love each other, God remains in us, and his love is made perfect in us. God is love, and those who remain in love remain in God, and God remains in them. Remain. Some other translations of this, he uses the word abide. That's a kind of a churchy word. I like that, though. Abide. If you abide in God and abide with each other, if you remain with each other in love, even in disagreement, then God's love will remain in you. We get it also in Paul's letters. You know, most of the New Testament are letters that Paul has written to squabbling churches. And we see this to his letter to the Romans, to First Church Rome. And if you go to Romans chapters 14 and 15, we see that Paul seems to be addressing some tension in the church. It was most probably Jewish-Gentile tension. Remember, the very first Christians were Jewish, and they were trying to work out what customs do we retain, what do we let go. And then Gentiles came in, not knowing any of those customs, and so there were tension. How do we worship together? How do we eat together? How do we fellowship together? And Paul is writing in our scripture today, he says, welcome one another, which suggests that there are people not welcoming each other. Or maybe they're not meeting together, maybe they're not worshiping together, but doing it separately because they're suspicious of each other. So instead of jumping out of the pool and not even having the discussion, Paul wades deeper into these baptismal waters. And he doesn't take a side, instead he calls for an attitude adjustment from both sides. Don't judge or despise your fellow church folks, Paul tells them, because Christ has welcomed them just as Christ has welcomed you. Paul keeps writing, he says, y'all really have more in common than you think. He did say y'all, look at the Greek. And then he says in the chapters in the parts that we read today, may the God of endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude toward each other, similar to Christ Jesus' attitude. That way you can glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ together with one voice. Love that anthem today, singing song together. God is the song, together with one voice. Just a few sentences before that, he said this to them, to his church, put up with each other. Put up with each other. The Greek is actually a little bit deeper and better than that. It's not just like, oh, I guess you're my church, fellow church person, I got to put up with you. No, it's the Greek says, bear with each other, support one another. See, later Paul will write to another church at Galatia, and he'll say, bear one another's burdens. And so you'll fulfill the law of Christ. And he says this to them as well, bear with each other. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in the 20th century theologian, he says this is called the ministry of bearing. The ministry of bearing to which we all are called to as part of the church. We bear with each other, we remain, we abide each other, and we abide in love, even in disagreement. So how do we argue and abide like Christians? And I think here we take Paul's advice. Have the same attitude towards each other that Jesus has towards you. So thinking about myself, what is the attitude that Jesus has towards me? Well, we love singing it, don't we? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And so then when it comes to my attitude towards you and Jesus's attitude towards you, Jesus loves you too, I guess. He does, for the Bible tells me so as well. So have the same attitude that Christ has towards each and every one of us. That's a good start. And then some other things that we can do. And I got this from another great book called Brave Church by Elizabeth Hagen. She calls for us to make our church a brave space rather than a safe space. Now, church needs to be a safe space, and we need to be safe here, but she says that one of the drawbacks of a safe space is that safety can ultimately lead to silence, that we don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable, or we don't want to challenge, and we don't want to do this, and so we stay quiet. And instead, she said, make church a brave space. Have hard conversations, and have them because they require courage. They require courage to listen and learn, to challenge viewpoints and to admit wrongdoing. The conversations may be uncomfortable, but they allow us to build stronger communities. And so she gives some good guidelines, and I've included these on your trail guide for you. She says the guideline number one, there's going to be controversy, but we need to treat it with civility. We can accept controversial opinions and conflict, and just be real that these are going to happen when we get people together, but we can be civil about it. Number two, own your intentions and your impact. Be aware and know that what you say can hurt someone else. Know that. Number three, challenge by choice. Step in and out of tough conversations freely. So there might be one day when you're feeling, you know what, let's have this difficult conversations together and let's challenge each other. And then there might be another day where you're thinking, I just don't have the bandwidth today. Can we do this at another time? And we have that choice. Number four, respect. And find out what respect means to different people. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what that means to me, right? Because what respect means to you might be a little different than what it means to someone else. And so treat others the way that not only you want to be treated, but the way that they want to be treated as well. And then number five, no personal attacks. We challenge ideas, but we do not attack people. We treat them with the same attitude that Jesus Christ has towards us and towards them as well. So Hagen says in her book, repeat after me, not everyone in my church is going to agree with me, and that's okay. So should we do that right now? Not everyone in my church is going to agree with me, and that's okay. And then Frances Gensch, in that other book, she says this, we should also adopt the attitude of some of her Jewish friends who tend to say this, I'm right, and you may be too. As long as there is love, that's the key. As long as there is love, as long as we agree to love each other and others to whom love might be a stranger, we remain, we abide, we bear with each other as long as there is love. And part of that love, you know, we talk about there's different Greek words in Scripture for love. A lot of times in here, you'll hear us talk about the word agape, which is the love of Christ, the love with no strings attached. There are a few other words used in Greek in Scripture as well, and one of them is the word storge. Storge, and that means affection. And Elizabeth Hagen says that we can cultivate storge for each other. We can cultivate affection for each other. Basically, it's fondness from frequent interaction. Fondness from frequent interaction. That means that, you know, when we commit to the church to support it with our presence, that means that we show up, right? And we don't just show up to worship, we show up for each other. And in doing that together as the church, time after time, and going about the everyday, ordinary business of life with other folks, we kind of tend to cultivate this affection towards one another. And that is the key. That makes it so that when it is time to have the difficult conversations, that helps us to be more courageous. Because it's so much easier to challenge somebody who you have affection for, a fondness for, who you've spent time with. So, for example, I disagree vehemently with you over how to load the dishwasher. Now, I'm sure there's things that are a lot deeper and more meaningful that we might disagree vehemently over. But remember that time that we roofed that Sakahatchee house together? Remember that time that we fed those hungry folks together? Remember that time that we sewed those preemie project hearts together? Remember that time that we sang Christmas carols to our homebound folks together? It was a little bit off key, but it still sounded pretty good. Remember that time we coached our church basketball teams together?
Remember those times that we talked, we prayed, we ate, and we ate, and we ate, and we worshiped, and we studied, and we served together? Remember that time we came to the Lord's table together? See, that's what keeps us all together. Christ keeps us all together. Christ invites his disciples to his table even when they disagree. And that goes back to the early church too. I mean, just to the original 12 that Jesus called together to sit at his table together. Have you ever thought about that? He called Matthew the tax collector, who was part of the Roman occupying force. He called him, as well as Simon the Zealot, who specialized in killing members of the Roman occupying force. And I can't help but think that he put the two of them right next to each other at the table. He called fishermen and philosophers to follow him and sit together at his table. He called the hotheads, the sons of thunder, to sit down next to the quiet ones who we never hear peep from in Scripture. And they all came and sat at his table. Even the one who ultimately, on his own accord, left his table. You know, try as we might, people have free will and free choice, and we want to keep them all at Christ's table, but there's some folks that just can't abide and can't remain, and so they go to a different table. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week. But Christ continues to invite disciples to his table even though they disagree, even when they are so different. I mean, do me a favor for a second. Just take a look around. Take a look at kind of who you're sitting near, and then kind of turn around and look in back of you. And if you're here in the front, look up towards the balcony. If you're in the balcony, kind of look up over and kind of see some of these folks down here. Just take a look around for a second. And be honest here. Be honest. Answer me this. Would you be hanging out with any of these people if it weren't for Jesus Christ? Would you be hanging out with me if it wasn't for Jesus Christ? But it's Christ who keeps us together, and it's his love that helps us to remain, to abide, to keep our vows. So friends, I want to invite you today to come here to Christ's table to get bread for the journey. Because we've got a journey together. And it takes bread, and it takes strength, and it takes courage to bear witness to the love of God in this world. So that those to whom love is a stranger will find in you, will find in us, generous friends. And may it be so. Amen. My friends, this is the table, not of the church, but of the Lord. It is made ready for those who love God and for those who want to love God more. So come, you who have much faith, and you who have little. You who have been here often, and you who have not been here long. You who have tried to follow, and you who have failed, come, because it is the Lord who invites you. It is God's will that those who want God should meet God here. And so let's just take a moment now in the silence of our hearts, and let's take a moment to admit to God and confess to God the times in which we have let the anger and the arguments overtake us, to the times in our lives that we have not lived up to the call to bear witness to God's love. Let's just take a moment now and admit to God the times that we have sinned. Let us pray.
And now, my church, hear this good news, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for each and every one of us, proving God's love for each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven, I am forgiven, we all are forgiven, and for that the church can say together, Amen. Amen.
If you will join me in the great thanksgiving, the blessing over the bread and the cup, the liturgy, your part is in bold, and the prompts for when your part is coming are also on the screen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. At this time, if our servers will come forward.
Friends, the table is ready. All has been prepared. Please come. If you are not able to physically come to the front, please just either let somebody next to you know or raise your hand and Pastor Christine will bring the elements to you. All is ready, friends. Come.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me the prayer that our Lord has taught us? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you'd like to know more about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ as part of this congregation, please speak with me or Pastor Christine after the service. We'd love to point you to some more discipleship opportunities here at TRUMC, the Church on the Trail, walking with Christ, serving God, and changing lives together. I want to invite you to stand, please, as we sing our hymn of sending, How Will They Know Us? They'll know we are Christians by our love. Let's sing together. Make a note for next week to have two round King's Hawaiian loaves available and ready for communion. I'm sorry to the folks in the back. We ran out of the King's Hawaiian. We started serving the gluten-free. I'm so excited about that King's Hawaiian bread. For years, we have not been able to find the round loaves, but a fellow pastor of mine put me onto an online website, and we can now buy it in bulk. And so we are set for the next couple of weeks. And so next week, we will have more, and we will have some left over so that you can come and get some more bread for the journey. But for today, my friends, I'm going to leave you with the words that Paul spoke to that church at Rome, that squabbling church at Rome, and he left them with these words of hope. Please receive them as well. Oh, may the God of green hope fill you up with joy, fill you up with peace, so that your believing lives, filled with the life-giving energy of the Holy Spirit, will brim over with hope. Go, my friends, and brim over. Amen.
Amen.